Hi, you're listening to Switch On, a podcast to shape the principles of modern leadership. We will be discussing the real experience with successful leaders and learn from them how are they tackling real-life, real-time challenges and build on their learnings for tomorrow's success. In this series, we'll focus on how we are bringing vision to life. Having a purpose, a vision alone, is not enough to be successful. Both require action. Without action, vision is nothing more than a dream. The key to success is to stay focused and be realistic about the current situation, and then learn perfect along the way. But as soon as we identify it, we need to start living it. Welcome to Switch On. Today we'll talk about the importance of collaborative leadership and how it's fueling innovation. Innovation is a collaborative process by which organizations abandon old paradigms and make significant advances. Innovative ideas come from several sources, including unreasonable demands or goals and time pressures. However, there are many blocks to innovation. An innovative idea is not helpful to an organization unless it's tested and implemented. The perfect solution is sometimes there, a vision, a thought, a dream, or just a wish. But it's often far too complex for an individual to take it into reality. So we need to move from me to we. So I'm honored to have an amazing guest with me today, a person who believes that the development of a digital culture is the key to building innovative strategies and projects for the future. A person that is driving innovation strategy and inspiring a no-limit mindset. Carlotta Danese, the head of Digital Innovation Lab at Prismian Group. Welcome, Carlotta.
Thank you, Elena. Good morning, everyone.
Great to have you with us. Carlotta, you're deeply embedded in innovation, but this is not where your career started. You have an engineering background, and during our last conversation, you have mentioned that you consider every innovation like a space mission. Tell us, what is your mission?
So thank you for inviting me to this important event. It's more than a pleasure for me to be here with you today. So let me introduce myself saying that I'm aerospace engineer by training. And as you said, I consider the innovation journey like a space mission. And then I would like to spend some word about this parallelism. I'm a creative person. With a strong attitude to drive progress and also changes for my company. Usually, I also say that my true job title is innovation architect because my job basically consists of creating new sources of value, managing an ambition portfolio of projects that is based on measurable goals. I think that being an innovation architect means also developing methods to make innovation happen in a systematic and also in a sustainable way. So I have 15 years of experience in the innovation framework. I started as aerospace engineer at aerospace department of Politecnico di Milano many years ago. And now I'm working in Prismian Group. And I will say that my specialty is to promote and facilitate cross-functional collaboration. I strongly believe in the open innovation approach also. And I love to generate new business opportunity for my company. And finally, if I can add something personal, I'm passionate about new technologies. I'm an Asian cooking addicted, and I'm also a box practitioner.
Wonderful. It's really fantastic how you are approaching your projects and creating new value sources by carrying out innovation actions from first idea generation to market adoption. And it's good to hear the passion in your voice, how you want to move things forward and how you want to change actually things for the better. Innovative cultures are characterized by a tolerance for failure and a willingness to experiment. They're seen as being psychologically safe, highly collaborative, and non-hierarchical. And research suggests that these behaviors translate into better innovative performance. But even though innovative cultures are desirable and the most leaders claim to understand what they entail, they are hard to create and sustain. What are the common pitfalls you have come across? What is limiting us to be more innovation-driven?
Elena, very, very good question. So I would like to give you some examples of common pitfalls that we have to face. I think that the majority of our audience could recognize almost one of these pitfalls that I would like to list. So the first one that I would mention is about strategy barriers to scaling innovation. That includes, for example, lack of investment, misalignment of innovation goals with business objectives, and lack of program connectivity with the upstream strategy and downstream execution. The second one, I think that is about process barriers to scaling innovation. That, for example, can includes innovation process gap, lack of customer centricity, and probably also ineffective metrics. But the most important one, as you mentioned before, is obviously cultural barriers to scaling innovation. That includes risk aversion, probably internal politics, and the famous syndrome of not invented here. And I would like to add also the lack of diversity in people and ideas. And if I can, I would like to suggest some recommendation to overcome some of these barriers to innovate.
Sure, I think, great.
Yeah, I think that we can take a venture capital mindset toward investment. For example, we can align innovation goal with business objectives and connecting and coordinating strategy, innovation, and execution. For example, in our company, we launched last year a transversal committee that is named Innovation Steering Committee. That is very important because we involved the different parts of the company that are performing innovation. And it's fantastic to know the project and also the initiatives that the other people are performing in our company. To overcome the cultural barriers, I think that we need to embrace an open innovation approach. For example, by communicating the benefit of diversity, we can also encourage and reward collaboration. And I think that we can align individual performance with innovation goal. Because I strongly believe that a positive communication is crucial to have a successful innovation.
So important. And I really like it how you're saying that the change doesn't happen in a vacuum. Once you have said, imagine a workplace where experimentation and participation are encouraged, where people are not afraid to speak up, where mistakes are considered as learning opportunities and good practices are transferred across the business, where people are not afraid to ask for help. What are the key principles you see that fuel innovation and which one works best for you?
You know, Elena, I would like to complete this image saying also that imagine also a place where people are not only measured by their technical expertise, the amount of knowledge they possess and their bottom line results, but on the quality of their questions. Mm-hmm. And their ability to leverage diverse thoughts in their team. I think that to transform these global images into reality, we need to develop a culture where leadership is measured by the ability to create the condition for others, to experiment, mm-hmm. create, fail, learn, and probably by learning thrive. I think that The problem is that we can simply declare that our company are inclusive. We can tell to our leaders that they need to be more agile and inclusive. Mm-hmm. I think that we have to commit by pushing mindset and behavior, system and symbols that make this cultural evolution real. If I can, Elena, I would like to give you one example that for me was very useful, that is linked to my personal experience. As I said at the beginning, I'm working in the digital innovation department. And I think that to make innovation happen in our company, we must leverage on our ecosystem. We, as Prysmian, we are a very big and complex company, so it's impossible to know everything. Innovation cannot be linked to a specific knowledge or department. So I think that we need a diffused innovation approach based on a collaborative leadership. In the end, I think that to succeed in innovation, we must become the champion of inclusion.
Beautifully said. Yet changing people's mindset and behaviors is incredibly challenging, and it also can be frustrating. But there's no getting around it when leaders need to make large-scale organizational changes that you are describing. Carlotta, what do we need to do more of, and what do we need to do less of, if I may be blunt, so the vision becomes a reality?
You know that Thomas Edison said, ideas without execution is only an hallucination. I think that is a fantastic phrase that represents exactly the reality.
So true.
Yeah. So to transform a vision into reality or an idea into reality, we can, for example, implement a specific strategy. And I would like to talk about our strategy. First point, for us, start small, mm-hmm. but powerfully. So initially, we can focus on building innovation credibility by targeting ongoing incremental innovation. So we need short-term delivery time frames and also operational improvement. The second point of our strategy, it's important to test whether we are going where we want to go. That means not just identifying best case outcomes, but also, I think, determining in advance what progress and success look like and mm-hmm. what milestone you would expect to see in day-to-day achievements. So you know that we can learn to be innovative. This is a key point for us. We can learn to be innovative, but by training ourselves every day, every single day. Yeah. And the last point that I already mentioned is about the consistent and persistent communication, because this is a proven strategy for us that helped my team many times to achieve important goals.
Yeah, without clear, focused communication and open communication among different stakeholders, actually nothing happens. And fantastic how you actually mentioned that you are, how should I put it, dividing change into a smaller, more digestible
exactly.
chunks in order to make it more manageable and the change less overwhelming for the team that's actually executing it. Wonderful. Yeah. You have touched the company culture a couple of times by now, and it plays an important role in this change, let's call it, and the whole innovation process, working across departments, breaking down the silo, leveraging different opinions, viewpoints to foster understanding and conviction, and to really stimulate people commitment and have those ideas implement. But what about bias?
So, Elena, first of all, we have to overcome the general idea that is shared by many companies that innovation comes from an individual genius or a small sequestered teams. But let me say that this is only a myth. Companies that try to follow that model often end up frustrated. The genius exists, but believe me, the most innovation are created in our company in general, are created through networks, groups of people that work in concert, that work together. We know that inclusive leadership, for example, has appeared as a unique and critical capability that can help organizations adapt to diverse customers, markets, ideas, and also talents. The most important traits generate a sense of inclusiveness are a leader's visible awareness of bias and also the cultural intelligence. I think that to fully capitalize our understanding of bias, leaders also must express their empathy. So usually I say that we want to move from an ego system to an ecosystem. So we can move, for example, from it's about me to it's about us, from top-down control to influence, from command to conversation, from self-interest to mutual support, and from blaming to mutual accountability.
You're so right. Everybody needs to participate from their own point of view, their experience, their professional knowledge and insights, because management doesn't have all the answers and needs to accept that new views and ideas come from all over the organization. And thinking together can put us on the path to solving complex problems and spark innovative thinking. And to move forward, we need to think differently about something we actually think we already know. I could say that innovation is often and also justifiably considered the launchpad out of this crisis. There has been a lot of talk about the roadmap to renewal and how we need to live the creativity by starting before we are ready to break and fix things, to hunt and kill all assumptions, to reach forward, fail, pick up yourself again, and then delight. What are the new values you are seeing that make the difference in reality?
In our company, we have the goal of connecting the world through technology, because basically we are the leader on the market in the cable production, so for energy and telecom infrastructure. But the most important part is being able to create connection between people. So we believe in the value of the network and how they fuel the development and also the implementation of the innovative ideas all over around the world. So our goal as a digital innovation is to build a concrete network, for example, of digital local partners in the in different countries that have different backgrounds and belongs to different departments. What are we doing together with them? So which is our goal? Basically, we are creating a network for sharing ideas, obviously also best practices, skills, resources. I think that this is the main scope, to know each other, to understand what people is carrying out in different countries and also in a different way. And we can learn from that. We are sharing, for example, local needs, and we are exploring digital solutions that lead improvement for the global company. We basically want to scale up the existing project in our network across the countries and also the activities. To do that, we are involving colleagues from different business, IT, operation, marketing, sales, to better also understand where we are and where we want to go. Because it's important also to set up our vision, including also these people in this path. And last but not least, we have to launch also a training path to sustain the value of the network. So we constantly need to upgrade and update our digital skill and our innovation skill to build a common language because we would like to be the sponsor for the future project also.
It's really great to hear that basically you are already living innovation, right? Through collaboration, co-creation, exactly. Testing it out on one market, and then transferring those ideas to other markets, scaling up your operating model. Congratulations for that.
We hope. We are trying. As I said before, we innovate every day. So.
Yeah, but like you said it earlier, we are learning along the way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And trying to improve every step of the way. And this is also important. Change management and future orientation are important aspects of your day. Can you take us through your experience and tell us how do you influence the resilience, the endurance, and ensure that this innovation is really becoming your daily way of working, your operating model?
To answer to this question, I would like to give you a clear example of resilience, speaking about a specific project that we launched during the first pandemic period.
Great.
That is a very difficult period. So, as you know, the recent pandemic and the worldwide travel restrictions have dramatically increased the request from our customers to perform, for example, remote testing activities. You have to know that usually, before delivering a product, and in our case is before delivering a cable for energy or telecom infrastructure, the customer have to check on site, so it means inside the plant, when we are producing the cable, the quality of our products. Mm-hmm. At the same time, our operations and also the R&D team have been in search of a solution to provide remote support and also interaction with our plants teams all over around the world. The main reason is, for example, the technology transfer between different plants. So during the spring of 2020, we launched a new project developed by, obviously, a transversal team. That include, for example, group quality, digital innovation, purchasing department, and so on. So this solution provides secure and remote connections and also services to our internal teams and to our customer, I think, in a very simple and straightforward way. This solution is the merge between two different parts, an hardware part and a software part. The solution integrates a state-of-the-art of camera handset that allows hands-free operation in our plant for our operators on site and a cloud-based field service management software that integrates a huge number of advanced collaboration features. So, for example, users can have interactive remote session using different tools. We can share contents, video, pictures, documents, and we can use also augmented reality to support the interaction and also keep track of all session. And we can also archive and distribute this session after the quality check. I think that this solution creates long-term value by keeping our customers, but also the teams connected and setting a sort of new standard of remote collaboration in our group. It's not only about Teams, Zoom, or a classical platform to have a conversation or have a call. It's a sort of a new digital workplace that includes also our customer is not only for our internal user, we include our customer in this new digital workplace. And we build this new digital workplace thanks to our resilience and our ability to quick adapt a technology that was made, for example, for internal inspection to different use cases. So this, for me, this is one of the clear example of resilience that we performed in our company.
amazing to hear how you have actually built the bridge between a location on site and your digital world. And it's amazing to really understand how this works in practice. What I mean by that is how digitalization is actually accelerating your transformation and opening new opportunities for your team. I think in this context, the word substantial is really important. Organizations often experiment with incremental initiatives that take up a lot of resources. But if innovation is to be the growth engine, it has to be large enough to matter. Carlota, how do you determine if the innovation concept will deliver the substantial outcome?
So I think that we have a recipe. A recipe that is composed by three major ingredients. The first one is a problem that we must solve or a need that we have to cover. The second is a portfolio of technology that we can select. And the third ingredient is the business model that we need to monetize the innovation with a clear impact or benefits. But I think that the question for us is how could we blend these different elements? So I can talk about our method. So first of all, to understand problems or needs, we have to be closer to our customers, so both internal or external. We can ask, or better, in the majority of the cases, the most useful things that we can do is to listen. To yeah, listen, so for example, their vision in short term, but also in the medium term. So we can ask, but in the majority of the cases, it's better to listen. Sure. About the technologies, how do we know which will be the most promising technology on which we have to invest in the future? So it's difficult to answer to this question. So we implement a method. So we cannot jeopardize our budget on hundreds of technologies because, as you know very well, usually the innovation budget is very small. So yeah. Our suggestion is to be part of an ecosystem. This is the word that is the most important one for us, the ecosystem. So, for example, an ecosystem of universities, different research centers, and also launching companies partnership that can help us, for example, to stay updated not only on our market trends, but also on the adjacent market that are very useful for the innovation. And I would like also to speak about the business model because it's the harder part for an engineer. Obviously, we are attracted by the technological part of a solution. We usually fall in love with our ideas. So to not be wrong, we need to obsess it by mm-hmm. the business model because at the end, we can develop a fantastic solution, but totally unuseful. So we developed some methods and tools to value the impact of our ideas and of our solution. We would like also to value the benefit based on a concrete metrics, to be honest with ourselves during the assessment of our proposal.
Yeah, an important element as well. And I really like how you're raising this point. I read an article recently from McKinsey, and yeah. They did an extensive study about how every successful innovation must come through the intersection of three lenses, they call it. Starting with that all great innovations start with a valuable problem to solve, the unmet customer need, if you want. That is actually what innovation needs to answer. Does what you are doing matter? Will customer benefit from it? And the second one really talks about the technology that you have mentioned. Does innovation generate a solution? Can you build it? And what technologies do you need to do that? And the third one is the business model that you have just emphasized that enables you to monetize that solution. So you need an answer. Will it win? Is there an opportunity on the market for that innovation? And all these lenses are required for successful innovation.
Exactly. all of this.
So true. And Carlota, how should business leaders decide what innovation to prioritize? I mean, it's not that easy and nor that transparent, especially when there's still so much uncertainty around us.
Exactly. It's not easy. But there are two important disciplines that we can help us to prioritize the innovation effort in this uncertain framework. These two disciplines are named scenario planning and portfolio management. The scenario planning allows us to identify the driving forces that can impact on our business in the short and medium term. For example, to perform this scenario planning, you can select the two or the three most important. I give you an example. In my case, once I made this exercise 1 year ago, I selected, obviously, COVID pandemic new wave and demand stability, divided per market, industry, and geographies. So for me, there were two different driving forces. Now, you can build a sort of matrix in which you can combine all these driving forces, finding out which are more probable to happen and when. For each more probable scenario, you can set some specific metrics to measure the impact. For example, you can choose increase or decrease revenue, increase or reduce market share, and so on. So now you are able to come up with a portfolio of projects that are robust with respect to the scenario, so you could be confident in founding on them. Or you can find out projects that are vulnerable with respect to the scenario, so you could stop or rework on them. And finally, you can find out also some projects that are scenario dependent. In this case, you can cherry picking to minimize the risk. As you understood, my suggestion every time is to build a tool to assess the initiatives before starting the development. Because if you measure something, you can probably better manage also uncertainty and also redesign the route.
Well said. I mean, having few recovery plans at
exactly
at your
exactly.
Hand, it's so important to really boost your flexibility and to allow you to quickly adapt to the changing environment that you're facing on the market. And companies often spend the least amount of time on building scalable operating models. And the purpose is to make innovation sellable and scalable, like you have mentioned before. Yeah. Do you have any transferable examples how your organization came up with a clever and valuable solution to these challenges?
So we create a sort of digital innovation operative model. It's a loop and is based on 6E. So we start every time with envisage. So the envisage step. So we have to think about the scenario and we have to study the market, the most probable market trends in the future. After the envisage, we move to the exploration phase. In this exploration phase, we, for example, set up the business requirement and we explore market opportunities. And we also look for the technological part that we have to develop. After the exploration phase, we have the experimentation phase. So we transform the initiatives in a prototype, in a real prototype. And with this prototype, we can start measure something. So the metrics that I mentioned before. If the experimentation has a good results, we can move to the execution phase. In the execution phase, we would like to build the minimum viable product. So we would like to transform the prototype in a pilot solution for the company, for example, in different plans in different business units.
In a controlled environment, you mean, right?
Exactly, in a controlled environment. So we transformed this prototype in a sort of a small product that we can prove with our customers. For each stage, we have a gate of a sort of no-go, go-no-go stage. After the execution phase, we have the exploitation phase. So we scale up. Mm-hmm. So we integrate this solution in the global system of the company. So basically, we deploy this solution internally or externally with our customers. And we can also incubate something externally. We, for example, in the past, in 2019, we launched two startups that born in the digital innovation department and now a real startup that can sell product not only to Prismian Group, but also to direct it to our customers.
Wow, well done.
Thank you. It was difficult.
Yeah, but I know, but necessary, right?
Yes,
based
exactly.
On what we are experiencing on the market, you need to pivot. You know, sometimes
yes, exactly.
You know, you create a fully new product, fully new solution. And it's amazing how innovation is happening everywhere. And it's always interesting to learn how the old becomes new again. But going forward, innovation needs to be sustainable. The time for talking is over, if you ask me. It's time for action. And we missed that at the recent COP26. And making real progress on our transformation journey will depend on radical shifts across reinvention, resilience, and regeneration. And tectonic shifts are happening around us. And transformation relates also to the way how we think about capitalism itself. How do you think do we need to rethink innovation to generate real value for stakeholders, not just shareholders, to really internalize the impact, to shift focus more long-term, and do all that while being accountable?
So this is a fantastic question because, as I said at the beginning of this speech, I'm an aerospace engineer and I usually make the parallels that you mentioned at the beginning of this speech. So an innovation journey and a space mission. I believe that these two things have a common framework that is based on four pillars. The first one is long-term vision. So we can think big and with a medium or long-term horizon to define our targets. But second pillar, we need short-term results. As I said before, start small. We can start small delivering something in a constant way during time to become accountable for our internal customer or external customer.
And those show you that you're also, sorry for interrupting you, but those also show you that basically you're on the right track or if you need to modify your approach in the meantime.
Yeah. And third, exactly for this reason, we can structure an iterative process because if something goes wrong, and definitely this is true, we need to adapt, redesign our route. And probably we have to do these things again and again and again and again. So the iterative process and also the metrics are very important during the route, during the journey. And finally, we can come up with a recovery plan because you have to be aware that the first answer to your proposal, if you are an innovation manager, whatever it is, will be no. Mm-hmm. We cannot implement what you are proposing because of budget, time, resources, priority, and so on.
Finding excuses.
Exactly, finding excuses. So you need, but you need really a plan B, C, D, and so on. So you have to train yourself on this aspect that is very important. So this is for this reason, I love to say that the innovation journey is like a space mission.
Yeah, but you need to be persistent.
Yeah, but exactly. This is the most important part.
You're raising a very valid point, right? There's nothing wrong with having the ambition to earn. In fact, the objectives of every company is profit. Yet with growing need for sustainability and social responsibility, this is shaping the business environment as well. And there's an increasing demand for accountability and provision of value to all the stakeholders looking through the prism of shared social responsibility. Yet without action, nothing happens. So, if I'm a leader frustrated with the lack of innovation in my organization, what should I do tomorrow? How do we reset for the adaptive leadership mindset?
So, Elena, let me start answering with another question.
Sure.
What happens when a technology project takes longer than planned, goes over the budget, and doesn't seem to deliver the value that was hoped for? I think that unfortunately, in the real life, the answer is not that everyone enjoys great results every time. So the people involved in this project will be disappointed. They feel less optimistic about applying technology in that area or in general to the business. Some will grow more cynical about technology in general. So I think that this reaction to sit back is rational. So naturally, we prefer to do more of things that are working and less of things that aren't. But once this thing happens, it's time to go outside the organization. So I'm not saying to leave the company, to be clear.
No, but to look out for new insights, to learn from other companies what they are doing, I guess.
Exactly. But you need some new breeze. For example, we can go outside also virtually, listening at podcast on something that you are interested in, reading a book, attending a masterclass. In that moment, I think that you need to be inspired and motivated by something that works only for you. If you have innovation inside you, if to be innovative is a mindset, you can quickly recharge the battery, because the most important things that is able to move your soul is facing the next challenge.
For sure. Great advice, Carlotta. Yeah. Innovation is a must for businesses that want to remain competitive within their industry. And if you're not uncovering new ideas, like you're mentioning, new ideas of value that meet your customers where they are, you risk getting left behind. And on the surface, coming up with innovation opportunities for a business can look like an easy task. In fact, there is often no shortage of ideas floating around the various parts of organization, but also outside, like you have just mentioned, waiting to be brought to light. For your innovation initiatives to be successful, those need to be intentional. And that means connecting the dots between each individual project and your strategic vision. Thank you, Carlotta. It has been great speaking with you. Thank you for sharing your experience and insights. I have learned so much.
Thank you, Elena, for this fantastic opportunity.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Drop of Milk, an impact-driven business consultancy and expert on customer-focused digital transformation. You can learn more at dropofmilk.com.